The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
A good Saturday morning to you and yours. A brisk, chilly Saturday, but much better than the monsoon that swept through the area yesterday. Yesterday was brutal. Today, chilly, sunny, nice. All right, lot today. We'll get into the dissension with the Jets. Greg Williams, Adam Gase, winless. Miami on the docket tomorrow, 4 o'clock. You can hear it starting at 2 o'clock right here on 98.7 ESPN. See, the Dolphins are 9.5-point favorites. The biggest spread they've had in years. In years. Coming off a great win against San Francisco. So we'll get into the Jets. We'll get into the Niners. Giants, and I am telling you from the bottom of my heart, if the Giants lose tomorrow and I hear one person tell me, yeah, but Dave, they played so hard and they played well and they love this Joe Judge, I'm going to push you off a cliff. I'm going to go crazy. I don't want to hear, well, they did well and they play for him and they like him. I want to win this game tomorrow. The Giants never win games. It's foreign territory. So we'll get into that a little bit later. Stump Rothenberg, 10:30. I don't know if Ty, we'll talk to Ty in a couple minutes. We'll see if he's going to make that crazy agreement where if I go 10 for 10, he gets a tattoo. We'll see. We did that last week. Worked out very well for everyone involved. Became very must-listen-to radio, stressful, exciting, and in the end, Ty comes out the victor, right? RJ Bell, 11 o'clock. Now, you didn't think that a sports talk show in New York City would start a Saturday morning show in the midst of the baseball postseason, and it would not have the Yankees, not have the Mets, but would lead there. But guys, I think this is the story of the day. And of course, there's the Nick Saban issue. And is he going to be on the sidelines? And what's going on with Florida? And COVID is just wreaking havoc in college football right now. We can get to that a little bit later as well. But the story of the day. And I'm interested to find out your take as a Yankees fan at 800-919-3776. The Houston Astros. This is the story right now. And I understand, and if you're a Yankees fan, this is, you know, awful on both shoulders. You have the devil on both shoulders here because you don't like the Rays because they hate you and they beat you and they celebrated in front of your face and they danced around to Empire State of Mind. So you hate the Tampa Bay Rays. But I think there's a special level of hatred for how you feel about the Houston Astros. The Astros guys are the second team in baseball history to come back from down 3-0 and force a game 7 in the postseason. And they are one victory away. And Lance McCullers on the mound against Charlie Morton tonight. One victory away from doing what the 0-4 Red Sox did to you. So I guess the question, and I don't know, and I know you hate them. I get it. But you got to give this Astros team a boatload of credit. And I understand that they're the villain, but I'll ask you this as well. Is this good for baseball? You say, hang on, Rothenberg, you're out of your mind. Why would that be good for baseball? Let me explain. Because we're leading a Saturday morning New York talk show with the Astros. That's why. Because if they win, watching them with that comeback, with the way you dislike them, with the fact that they're doing this without Verlander, with the fact that their best pitcher, Gerrit Cole, left to go to your team, and they're still pushing through, this is a story. This is a legitimate story. And you know what? The teams that you love sell. Teams that you hate, the villain, sell. That's what they are. That's exactly what they are. I mean, they and what they've done, see, they feel like they were wronged, which to me is laughable. After you cheated, you got caught, you got punished, not severely enough, I think, for most people, but you got punished, and your reaction is to act like the victim. But this is now their role. Like, Carlos Correa he's public enemy number one, and he loves it, and he owns it. And I remember years ago, I was filling in for someone. Maybe it was Lupica or I don't think it was Colin. I don't know. Someone on our station. And I was filling in, and they said, we can get a young Astros player. This must be, I don't know, 5 years ago, maybe even a little longer. You have any interest in talking to Carlos Correa? And I said, yes, I do. I said, I think he's going to be a star in Major League Baseball, and I want to talk to him. And we had him on, and he was so likable. And I remember at the end of the interview, and maybe I had read this and I asked him about it. I said, you know, you speak English and Spanish, but you grew up with Spanish and you deemed it necessary to learn English. He said, yes. He said, because I knew that I was going to be a leader on a professional baseball team, and I wanted to communicate to those guys in whatever language they spoke, be it English or Spanish. So I sat and studied and learned how to speak English. And I remember thinking to myself, boy, this is a guy that gets it, and this is a guy that's interesting. And I liked him so much. And I remember after the interview, a lot of people reacted and said, what a great kid. What a likable kid this is. And now years later, and I don't remember if it's 5 years ago or 6 years ago, years later, he's now John Dillinger. Right? I mean, he's now Al Capone. He's public enemy number one. Right? You watch Jose Altuve making those errors. He's got the yips, as some are calling it. And you're like, oh, this is great. There's no team I'd rather watch fall apart than Houston. Well, guys, the entire baseball world is against them. They trail 3-0 to a team that just beat you and many people think is the best team in all of baseball. And then they go 3-1, 3-2, 3-3. I mean, this is, whether you like it or not, whether you like them or not, this is an unbelievable, and let's be fair, sensational story. So I get you don't like them, but I'll tell you this, I think it's good for baseball because we can now start a show, and they are, listen, the talent that they have on that team, from Michael Brantley to Correa to Springer to Altuve, is sensational. To Alex Bregman, it really is. And for what they've done, if you really think about it from a baseball standpoint, to lose the best pitcher in the American League, maybe Bieber's that guy now, but Gerrit Cole was that guy last year, and Verlander, and to lose both of them and still rebound, and knowing that everyone just detests them, and to rebound to get to where they are right now, that's a story. So I guess the question is, where are you now tonight? Because I think you're all in on Tampa, and you wanted them to win. And then they were going to, and then the series was over, and then it's a, hang on, not so fast. And I will tell you this as well. If I'm a Rays fan, I'm beside myself. And I know that there's not probably a huge Rays population, but if I'm a Rays fan, I am panicked because the series was done. You had 3-0, right? You're finishing them in a matter of moments, and now you're 3-3, and Lance McCullers is on the mound tonight? Oh, I'd be panicked. So Yankees fans, where are you here? Are you Rays? They don't like us. Or are you Astros? We can't stand them. I would think that if you're a Yankees fan, you're probably rooting for the Rays and you probably can't stand this series. I remember this actually. And I remember asking my dad, like, I don't know what to do. I think it was had just turned 81. Was it 79 into 80 or 80 into 81? Regardless, I think it was 80 into 81, I think. And the Eagles and Cowboys played in the NFC Championship game. And I remember talking to my dad and be like, Dad, I don't know what to do. And he said, no, nobody knows what to do. He said, it's awful. Awful. Now, the best case scenario happened. Philadelphia won, and then the Raiders beat them in the Super Bowl. But if you're a Yankees fan, I don't know. I don't know what you do. But you look at this Astros team, and they're so resilient. And Valdez was great, and Greinke's pitched well, and McCullers was sensational. And they're just, you know, the only likable guy on this team, I think, right now, is Dusty Baker. You can't dislike Dusty Baker, right? Because he came in after the fact. He's tried to right the ship, and he's a good Samaritan, for lack of a better term, in the world of baseball. Like, he's likable. But Altuve? And they're pompous and they're smug and they think they're better than you. And you know what the worst part of it is? They might be. And how ridiculous does baseball look if a team that admittedly cheated and was punished for cheating, whether you think it was fair enough or not, and had an upheaval within the organization, is the American League champions tonight? How awful is that for the game of baseball? Because even you're cheating, you win. You don't cheat, you still win. Doesn't look good. So that's where we are. Game 7 tonight. And I got to tell you, I thought when the Yankees were done, obviously the Mets were a joke this year, that I'd kind of, you know, fade off and not be into it. I am completely into it. Stayed up to watch the Dodgers in their comeback last night. They now trail 3-2. Watched the big inning last night for Houston. Springer with a big hit. Altuve with a big hit. Bregman continues to do what he does. They come back and they win that easily last night. Totally invested. So I think it's great, the fact that on a Saturday, a week out from the Yankees being bounced from Major League Baseball postseason, that we can see to hear and open the show with baseball. I do. I think it's great. We'll get to the NFL. Now, it's not like we flip the page. It's like, oh, let's talk about the 5-1 Giants. Let's talk about the 3-3 Jets who are competing. No. The other side of things is a disaster. Right? The Giants stink. The Jets stink. So we have the option of baseball, and that's the option we chose. But I think it's great. I do. I think if there's a villain that's there that you can watch and detest and root against, and that focuses you to watch baseball, you know what? That's a win for baseball. So in many ways, I actually think this is good for the game. 800-919-3776. Now, Ty D. Butler, you know him. He's my producer. Went to the Newhouse School of Communications. He usually pops on like 9:15, and I get his take on things. I'm interested to see if he's Rays or Astros tonight, because he's a Yankees fan. I think he's still licking his wounds. Although, Ty did get to celebrate a championship this week. See, and I laugh at the Lakers, Yankees, because Canty's the same way. It's like, if you're a fan of the Lakers and the Yankees and the Islanders, or like, you know, a machination of that, stop complaining, really. Because how many of us are Giants, Knicks, Mets, Rangers? And we have nothing. If you're a Lakers fan and you just won a championship, you have lost all sense of being able to complain. So we'll get Ty's take on who he's rooting for in this series tonight.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, Ty. How are you?
Hello, David. I'll be honest, man. I was actually feeling pretty good this morning until I heard you say that the Astros' road to redemption is great for baseball.
Well, do you disagree? Now, I'm not saying
vehemently.
No, I say I think you're wrong. If the Astros got swept away and the Rays had moved on, I think that the Rays or the Dodgers or the Braves storyline is benign. That's not all that exciting. I'm telling you, now just I know you don't like them, but take a step back and look at it from the baseball standpoint. The Astros being alive right now, playing in a game 7, is good for the game of baseball.
So I've never been a big integrity of the game guy. Mm-hmm. But in this instance,
the way you live your life, that would make sense.
In this instance, the Astros cheated and got caught doing so. And now this further illuminates how baseball just dropped the ball. This team should not have even been allowed to be here. Now, we've been told
ban them from the postseason?
Because we've been told that you can't suspend them, you know, immunity. So ban them from the postseason. 29-31, and now they're a game away from getting to the World Series. And the
whose
biggest
fault is that?
The baseball.
No.
Ban them from the playoffs.
No, it's the Twins' fault. It's the A's' fault. It's potentially the Rays' fault.
They should
fault.
Not
no,
have been allowed to be here. Because
please.
The biggest. So you're going to tell me that it's great for baseball that the biggest story in the World Series is going to be about how this team cheated and got away with it? Come on now.
It's going to be that they cheated, and they're so good that they were able to get past that and still win the American League.
They cheated and should have been banned from the postseason. That,
you know,
that's going to be
cheating,
part of the
maybe
conversation.
Maybe that cheating didn't matter all that much then.
Well, I mean, that's
maybe
actually...
It didn't maybe it didn't help them all that much if they're, because you don't think they're cheating now, right?
I mean, who knows? I didn't think they were cheating years ago.
I understand
last three
that.
Seasons.
But you would imagine that they're not cheating now, right?
Maybe they're juicing. Because I mean, Altuve and Correa couldn't hit a baseball if it was a beach ball during a regular season. And all of a sudden, Correa is Barry Bonds.
So you think in a stadium with no one there that they're still cheating? This is sour grapes from you is what it is.
No, I mean, the average baseball fan, you don't even have to be a Yankees fan to feel this way. Ask the Kansas City Royals fans. I mean, not that many of them, but the 7 guys who exist, ask them how they feel about this situation. It's terrible for baseball.
I'm not saying that them winning the World Series is good for baseball. I think them being alive and pushing through. And listen, they're down 3-0. They come back in the second team in baseball history, Ty, to force a game 7. I mean, this is stuff that doesn't happen.
Now,
this is John Dillinger of Major League Baseball.
What I will say, though, is if they do complete this comeback, the Yankee fan, 0-4 doesn't live alone anymore.
That's right. You have company.
Now
you move over in the bed. You let someone else lie right down next to you.
Go Tampa Rays tonight. Don't let this disastrous situation unfold the way it has. I mean, it would be an embarrassment for this sport. But it would be fitting because of
great
how this, the season started and now how it's going to end with the Astros winning the World Series.
It would be a great story. You might not like it. It's a great story.
It's a terrible story. I can't believe you're on this side.
What do you mean?
I'm shocked.
It's a great story.
Yeah, it's a great story that the cheaters are now going to win the title.
Well, you know what? Twins, A's, Rays, National League. There's four stops to stop them.
Baseball. Stop them. You forgot baseball there. The Bucks is supposed to stop with
baseball. What did you
baseball.
Want, Major League Baseball? Listen,
the
what did you want
The commissioner of the sport.
What did you want them to do? What more could they have done?
Be the custodian and say, listen, I don't care how great you are. You can go 60-0. You're not going to sniff the playoffs because you were caught cheating. We can't suspend you because of immunity, but you're not going to the postseason. Fire the manager. Fire the GM.
That
does nothing.
So any other team that now gets caught cheating, you're going to ban them from the postseason?
To this degree? Of this magnitude?
So it's degrees. You got to be careful. Slippery slope. You think Carlos Beltran was cheating with Houston and it ended there?
Well, you got to prove it. I mean, we proved it, right? Like, John Boy completed his investigation.
The special investigation unit.
Listen, you got caught cheating. No postseason for a year. 1 year. That's it. Come back next season.
That's unprecedented.
Well, what they did was also unprecedented, Dave. You're banging garbage cans. You're putting cameras in the center field wall. Come on. I can't believe this is the side you're on.
I can't believe that you don't think that a villain story is good for baseball. You know what I'd like to do? By the way, I gave you a sensational introduction, and you reacted blindly to it.
Well, because I'm upset with you.
The last time I do that, unheralded.
I appreciate
terrific
it.
Terrific talent. No, you know what? Forget it.
I appreciate it.
Listen,
one of us is clearly wrong. The other is clearly right.
I don't think I'm wrong. Let's find out what the people have to say. Diego in Queens. Diego, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Good, Diego. How are you?
Dave, listen to me. I am 100% agreeing with you. This guy, Butler, I don't know what's going on. But can we say that the Astros did not win in 2017, right? If they cheated, and if you win and you cheat, would you not keep cheating and keep going away with it? Because I'm pretty sure the very next year in the ALCS, the Boston Red Sox completely destroyed the Houston Astros. Right or wrong?
Well, they beat them up, absolutely. But listen, no one is defending that they cheated. No one is saying that what they did was good. My statement and questions would be, are they the only ones? And I think the answer to that is no. And you know what? You had your chances. Everyone has stood in their way and been able to take them down, and no one to this point has been able to do that. And Diego, and thanks for the phone call. I stand by. This story is good for baseball. It is. This story is good for baseball. You know why? Because you hate them. If you didn't care, if you had no interest in Houston, we wouldn't be talking about this right now. But because you have this feeling of, oh my God, this team is they cheat and they get away with it and they continue to win and I can't stand them. What's the old adage? Bad publicity is good publicity? That's what they have. Ryan, Long Island. Ryan, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for taking my call. So I finally realized who I want to win, and I'm a Yankee fan, so I hate both teams. But I can't have Astros win. I can't have it. The reason I want the Rays to win now is because it's only a matter of time until they can't play their players, and then they're completely irrelevant again. So it's like, let them have a couple of years, and then they're going to be awful, and we can walk all over them again.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, I get everyone is angry, and thanks for the call. And I get that you want Houston to lose. But my point is this, that this story is good for baseball. That's it. That's it. How can you deny that? Maybe you don't want them to ultimately win, but the fact that baseball is now front and center conversationally is great. Garrett in Jersey. Garrett, you're on 98.7.
Hey, Dave, how are you?
What's up, Garrett?
Not much. I have to disagree with you, Dave. This is not good for baseball. If baseball had any kind of backbone, they would have foregone this immunity baloney, and they would have suspended players. Because if you take steroids and get caught, you get suspended because it's cheating. So cheating is cheating, and they let him get away with it, and now here we are. It's a bad
look.
All right,
so Garrett, you root for who?
I'm a Yankee fan.
Okay, so were you crying and bemoaning this when Andy Pettit was cheating?
I took my lumps with that. Yes, I did.
When Roger Clemens was cheating, when Alex Rodriguez was cheating, I don't remember Yankee fans saying punish us, keep us from the postseason.
It's as far as punishing individual players, and those players were punished.
Andy Pettit was never punished.
Well, I guess you got me on that, but the rest of those guys all definitely were punished. So if you got guys cheating, they got to be punished.
All right, listen, I appreciate it. So, they gave them immunity because they wanted to punish the bigger picture. They wanted to punish the organization, so they gave them immunity. I just think that, you know, you don't like them. You want them to lose. That was happening all season. Everyone was loving it. Joe Kelly's thrown at them, and everyone's having a celebration. And now that they're winning, now you're angrier. Well, you know what? Beat them. I'm assuming, and I think even though you detest them, you're assuming as well that they're not doing this nonsense now. And you still can't beat them? I mean, you took their best pitcher. You took a guy that's generational, and they still have had a better season than you? They lost a surefire first ballot Hall of Fame pitcher who won the Cy Young last year. And they're still better than you? I don't know. Ty, I think it's time to put your big boy pants on and admit that maybe Houston's a better team than the Yankees.
And the Yankees would have beat them, too. The Yankees,
you're right.
Yankees
you're
would
right.
have smoked the Astros.
You're right.
That's
you're
what
right.
frustrates me even more.
I agree with you. I think I will say this. I thought Tampa was going to destroy them.
And they were.
Until they didn't.
Through three games, they were.
Yeah, they killed them.
I can't believe you, man. If the Mets were on the opposite end of this cheating scandal, you would feel completely different.
I would be angry about it when it happened. And at this point, I'd be like, my God, like clearly they're just a terrific organization and team because even not cheating, even without their star players, they're still beating everyone.
And, you know, the reality is, if you're a Yankee fan, you take solace in knowing that in 17 and 19, you feel like you would have beaten them had they not been cheating. If they go on to win the World Series, it kind of delegitimizes that.
That's my point. Yes. You need Houston to lose this game tonight. I think if you're a Yankees fan. Because if they win the World Series, then the only reason they won is because they cheated. That argument kind of goes out the window, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, let's continue this conversation. People are very fired up. I think we've touched a nerve, Ty. What do you think?
We have. It's because you're so dead wrong. People got to tell you about it. You're so dead wrong. I mean, how could you even be more wrong?
I'm enjoying the Yankees fan like whining. I got a text from someone at the station. I'm not going to even mention name. It said, I love Yankees fans hating cheaters, but they rooted for Clemens, A-Rod, and Pettit.
Wow. So this has to be a sour Mets fan we have at the station.
I'm not giving you any information.
It's not. It's clearly not a Yankees fan the way that they phrased it.
And I didn't even say it's an on-air person.
And that wasn't an organization-wide cheating scandal. You had one or a couple players.
I'm not defending the cheating. But this notion that they should have been banned from the postseason is laughable.
If before the game, Boone says, come into my office one by one, we're going to give you a syringe and pump it into your veins, yes, then maybe you have a point. But you cannot compare that to what the Astros have been doing the last couple of years.
I'm not comparing it. All I'm saying is, and this is not Yankees fans, this is what sports fans do. They see things through their own team's colored glasses, right? Like Lawrence Taylor, who is just, a god to me as far as sports are concerned. If he was on another team, I would have detested him. I would have rooted so hard against him. Dak Prescott, and that was a terrible injury last week, and I make no light of it. But if he was on the Giants, I'd love him. He's on Dallas, I can't stand him. Think about what your fandom makes you do. It can sway how you feel about something that if it was your team, you'd find a way to make sense of it. And when it's another team, it bothers you to no end. My point is this, they're not cheating now, right? If under oath, Ty, if you were asked right now, do you think the Astros are cheating? Your answer would be?
Honestly, I don't know.
Come on.
Listen.
Ty, we need a yes or no. Do you believe the Astros are cheating right now?
I'm going to say yes. There's too much of a disparity as far as what the offensive numbers were during the regular season and now what they are in the postseason.
So how could they then they should start to like work for the Israeli defense system? Really? Like if they with the entire world watching them, with nobody in the stadium, if they're still cheating, listen, then they should work for the FBI.
They got away with their own unit
of surveillance.
They already got away with it. Why not continue to do so?
No, there's no way.
They weren't punished the first time.
All right, let's continue this conversation.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
People upset with me, by the way.
Why is that?
My take.
Yeah, I mean, it's a ridiculous take.
It's not ridiculous.
And what makes it worse for baseball is the Astros' lack of contrition. They're just arrogance.
I agree with that.
Top of the cheating.
It's awful, but again, it's awful, but it's great. Because they're such a villain. No one can like them. I think that's what makes it more attractive. I agree with you. The way they act is reprehensible. But I think it makes you dislike them more, which makes you more invested, which means you're even more desperate for Tampa to win tonight. Do you at least understand my viewpoint?
Just as far as like driving interest in the game?
Yes.
Yes. But I don't think, because it sounds convoluted, while it's contributing to the interest level in the game, I don't think it's good for the sport. And I get that sounds convoluted.
No. I think it's a fair point. I mean, would you rather, you know, if a tree falls in the forest and no one's there, did it make any noise? Would you rather that, or would you rather, you know what, I want a lot of people around that tree that's falling.
But again,
I want you to know the noise it's making.
I hate myself for doing this. I'm not a big integrity of the game guy because it sounds ridiculous.
Well, clearly, we know integrity is not something you live your life by. But continue.
But they clearly and flagrantly cheated. Like, this isn't just some team that, like, the Yankees. People hated the Yankees because they spent a lot of money and got the best players. Like, in basketball, the Warriors, they win 73 games and then add Kevin Durant. Like, that's different. You can hate them, and that drives you to root against them. So now you have more fans watching the games. The Astros, they cheated and didn't face any type of punishment for it. Nothing at all. So that's what annoys me.
The punishment wasn't severe enough for your liking. And
they
most
went from
liking,
A.J. Hinch to Dusty Baker. Like, how much of a drop-off is that? I know he's had his postseason failures.
So what did you realistically wanted them to be eliminated, to be disqualified from the postseason?
Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the form of an answer.
The Patriots weren't. The Patriots were filming other teams' practices.
And they should have been banned from the postseason as well.
You can't start banning teams from the postseason.
If the Warriors are caught cheating to this degree, Adam Silver's not letting them compete for a championship that same season.
100%.
It's just not happening.
100%. No commissioner is going to start the precedent of you've cheated. You are now on the outside looking in of postseason competition.
But this is more of an aberration than it is like something we're accustomed to. It's a different level of cheating. It's systemic cheating. It's different. We can't just compare it to some regular violation. Is it a
different brand of cheating than the Patriots had?
I mean, it's right on par with the Patriots.
Patriots are filming the opposition.
Yes. It's right on par with the Patriots. Absolutely.
That's horrendous, Ty.
Yeah, I mean, you cannot justify that at all. It's reprehensible.
And I'm not for the record, I'm not justifying what they did. I'm not. I don't like what they did. But could there have been a harsher punishment? Yes.
What would that have been?
In my mind have been to eliminate them from the postseason? No.
So that's the question, then, Dave. If you believe that the punishment should have been harsher, what would that have been if it doesn't include banning them from the postseason? Because you can't suspend the players.
Yeah, I don't know.
And that's the problem. Like, if you're going to say that it should have been...
You take away all their picks? You take away
I'm sure,
international money? I don't know.
I'm sure on a team that features Springer, Altuve, Bregman,
so
and Correa, they need more draft picks.
That's the one thing they're missing. What's the point of playing baseball? Well, what are you? It can't only be ban them from the postseason. It can't be ban them from the postseason or then do what you did. There's got to be some kind of in between.
Well, I mean, I guess we have to figure out what the in-between is. Fire the manager.
Well, you know what?
The
commissioner maybe should have thought of that.
Yeah,
now, my job, on the, you know, put on the spot at 9:45 on a Saturday to determine what the punishment should have been.
Well, I'm sure I trust you more than I trust the commissioner of baseball. That's the point I'm making. It's a disaster, man.
Should I read some of these tweets?
You should. Go ahead.
Some of them are mean-spirited, though.
Attacking me or attacking you?
No, not attacking you.
Attacking you.
Lucky Lou, love you, Dave, but your take on Houston winning is frankly disgraceful. You're better than that.
Completely agree.
The reek of the bitter Mets fan off of you.
Completely agree.
Barnett Goldman, I disagree completely. For every home run they hit, there's a question of validity. This is not good for baseball. Now, you're even mentioning this one. Big Steve 89. Ty Butler's making some serious salient points this morning. Rothenberg is making a bad guy sports take.
I mean, that is the tweet of the day.
Now it
man,
becomes
Big
angry.
Steve.
Vitriol at Rothenberg ESPN. You're an idiot. Your logic is not good for baseball. No one wants to watch this but Houston. Anthony Pham, 579. Dave, as a fan of yours, I'm disappointed. I thought you were way better and rational on how you're acting.
See, Dave, you're losing. So your public approval rating is diminishing.
It's okay. It's
based right. on this take. I mean, you
That's
can't
fine.
Have this opinion.
Hinky Haynes, I'm a Yankees fan that realizes the Astros got caught, but all teams cheated some level. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. The only blame I have for the Yankees is not getting to the World Series in the last 10 years.
I mean, that's a different conversation. Well, it's not that the Yankees are blameless. I mean, no one agrees with you, Dave. That's the point of the conversation.
That's fine. You don't have to agree with me. I'm not saying that this is a team that's worthy of winning the World Series. I'm saying this storyline is good for the game of baseball because it makes baseball relevant.
By the way, it's going to be so
funny. Would we be talking this right now? Would we be talking baseball? Would we mention baseball if Oakland was playing the Rays right now?
That's the price you pay for, you know, policing your sport the right way. You don't love it, but
I'm
listen.
Looking for an answer. I'm looking for an answer.
The answer is no.
Would we be talking baseball if the A's were playing the Rays right now?
We would not.
Okay. Would we be talking baseball for more than 90 seconds if the A's fell behind 3-0 and forced a game 7 against the Rays tonight?
You said more than 30 seconds?
Yes.
No, we would not.
Exactly.
It's the price
you pay. So my point stands that this conversation, even though it's painful, even though you don't like it, in the end is good for the game of baseball.
You're saying that, you know, in order to increase the popularity of our sport, we're going to allow this team to cheat and get away with it. That's fine. It just shows you have no backbone.
I have plenty of backbone.
No, I'm not saying you. I'm saying baseball. Not you,
Listen,
Dave Rothenberg.
Could baseball have come down with a harsher punishment? I think they could have, and I think they should have. But I will say that the other side of this and banning them from the postseason – It would have been too much.
Dave,
it would have been. You can't take stars. I mean, and you can't deny Altuve, Correa, Bregman. I mean, when healthy, Verlander. I mean, this is a Springer. This is a team littered with stars. You can't take that out of the postseason. You can't do it.
Dave, I'm just picturing right now, we're about a week away from Rob Manfred going onto the field with the World Series trophy
just a piece of metal.
Handing it to a team that he caught cheating. Oh, my God, the optics of that. Wow. Wow.
I think you're bitter. I think this boils down to the fact that your Yankees, again, came up short in the postseason. Again. And it's has you feeling a way about it.
But listen, Aaron Boone says we're close. So I feel pretty good.
I would hope you'd be close.
I feel pretty good.
I mean, we're close.
He says we're close.
You have a payroll through the roof. You signed the biggest free agent in baseball. You have a team littered with talent. We're close. Well, could you imagine if you weren't close? Oh, my God. We're close.
We're right
great.
There.
That's great.
Let's put our best foot
Let's
forward.
Open up the Canyon of Heroes. The Yankees are close.
We're having great at-bats, my friend.
Oh, great at-bats. 3 hits in Game 5 against the Rays. A team that's on the verge of history. History! Via the collapse.
He's pompous.
Listen, shut up and I'll tell you the story.
He's arrogant.
Do you think there's a lot of things out there that I wouldn't be good at?
And sometimes he's downright mean.
I know you know what that's like. To be that uncomfortable, pimply-faced, not very popular kid.
But now it's your chance to prove him wrong.
It's dumb.
Call 800-919-3776 with your question and let's stump Dave Rothenberg.
You can try another edition of Stump Rothenberg, brought to you as always by the law offices of Andrew M. Cohen. If you're just tuning in because you love Stump Rothenberg and you haven't heard earlier parts of the show, my producer, the great Ty D. Butler, has agreed if I go, is it 9-0, Ty?
I'm it is 9-0, yeah.
9-0,
yep.
That he will get a piercing in the ear and will get a dangling earring, much the way LT used to wear, the LT, that will say Stump Rothenberg. 9-0.
I'm excited.
Now, someone sent me a text and said, how about if you go 8-1 or better, Ty walks the streets of New York City with a sandwich board promoting Stump Rothenberg.
A sandwich board. Yeah. Maybe we can put that in the holster for next week.
Maybe we can.
Because I like that.
Yeah, right? It's a nice one. Okay. Yeah. All right. Now, you've screened these callers.
I have.
You
indeed.
Haven't planted moles that are going to ask me these inane questions, right?
No.
Because it's still the integrity of the segment yes. goes through you.
The integrity of the sport. I am a custodian.
You are the Rob Manfred. You want postseason ban. You know what? Now you got to take care of business here.
Yep. Pressure's on, baby.
You are the Rob Manfred of this segment.
Here Adam Silver, I'll go with. Adam Silver.
Yeah, probably a better choice. Dave in Queens. Dave, you're first up. First up.
Good morning. It's an honor. Okay, brother. The best program, in my opinion, of college basketball is University of Kentucky. That's my opinion. Right. I want you, Mr. Rothenberg, to name two out of the top five leading scorers of that prestigious program.
All time?
All time.
All right, so I'm thinking Dan Issel off the bat. See, a lot of these guys didn't go. Dan Issel's got to be one. Tony Delk. It's got to be a guy that stayed for at least three, if not 4 years. So I'm going to go Dan Issel. Now, in theory, this is only supposed to be a one-part question, but I'm going to play your game. I think Kenny Skywalker, who was drafted by the Knicks and won the slam dunk contest, is probably top five as well.
Final answers?
Oh, God.
Well, we're making it official. Yes, sir?
Yeah,
or no, sir?
Yeah, it's official. Go ahead.
Okay, you got it, Mr. Rothenberg.
All right. 1-0. Ty, let's check in with you. How you feeling?
I feel pretty good.
Yeah, you should.
I feel great.
You should feel great. You should. I agree. Miles in Montclair. Miles, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Hello, Dave. Hello. How are you?
I'm good, Miles.
I've got a movie question for you.
Okay.
The great actor Charles Laughton only directed one movie. What was the name of the movie?
Now, he did The Night of the Hunter, I think. And that's forever ago. I'm really not sure. The only thing I can think of is Night of the Hunter, so I'll go with that.
You are correct.
Yes!
Oh, that was genius, Ty.
Yeah, I don't feel good anymore. I went from feeling
wow.
great. Wow. One question removed from feeling great.
Oh, my God.
I feel I'm
awful. I can't believe
now.
That.
Yeah.
Wow. I we should stop now. Forget about the earring or anything. I mean, that was brilliant. Only movie I even knew he was associated with, and I got it right. Wow.
I'm not opposed to stopping here. What do you say, Brian? We good?
Let's go to Steve in Brooklyn at 2-0. Steve, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Got to say, Dave, you've had quite a few really good pulls against me, but Devin George last week had me a little shell shocked there.
It was so lucky, too. Honestly, it was so lucky.
All right, so we'll go baseball here, Dave.
All right.
Nick Markakis is the active leader in games played without playing in a World Series. Who is the all-time leader in games played without ever appearing in a World Series?
I always thought it was Ernie Banks, but now I got to think. So he could have played in the postseason, but just not the World Series, right?
Correct.
His team never played in the World Series, yep.
Is it Palmeiro? Is it Ernie Banks? Is it Griffey? See, I think Ernie Banks is the postseason. But I don't know that Ernie Banks is the all-time. So this guy can have played in the postseason, but just never played in the World Series, correct?
That's correct.
I'm going to say Rafael Palmeiro.
2,800 change games. Rafael Palmeiro, you got it.
Yeah, that's three. That's three. Because I always remember Ernie Banks, but he just was never played in the postseason, which is amazing. But again, it was only World Series. There was no championship series. Ty, 3-0. How you feeling?
We are third of the way there. Not happy.
I got to be honest.
The movie question makes me feel like there's no question you won't have the answer to.
I got to be honest. The odds of me going 9-0 are slim to none.
Of course you're going to say that. You're a hustler.
I'm being sincere. 9-0 is, I mean, that's Herculean, Ty.
Didn't you go 9-0 last week, or was it 8-0?
No, I went 8-0.
It was 8-0. So you were.
We never see stuff like that.
You're just building yourself up so that when you do go 9-0, it's more impressive.
I honestly think this is nearly an impossibility. Fran in Massapequa. Fran, you're on Stump Rock.
Hey, my man, what's up?
Hello, Fran. How are you?
You're a legend. Listen, and I know for a fact that Ty is not, messing with the questions so people ask you hard questions.
No, I don't think he would. No, I know
because he made me tone my question down a little, which I think you're going to get now. But my question is, if you want to know the original, I'll let you know. But my question is, John Wayne, the actor, got a scholarship for football to what school?
He was a great athlete. I'm thinking USC, but I'm not sure that that's right. I'm confident it's USC. But I'm nervous because I don't know this 100%. But I feel like it is USC, so I'm going to go with that.
All right. My original question was what injury caused him to lose the scholarship. You are correct. USC.
Okay.
My original question, Dave, was what injury caused him to lose the scholarship, but Ty made me change it. And I'm not throwing Ty under the bus. Ty's one of the greatest.
Ty is the great. I believe he broke his collarbone while body surfing is my remembrance of that. Ty? Is that correct?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. That's famous because he lost the scholarship. And there you go. All right, so what are we, 4-0?
We are 4-0.
Do you want to take one more and then break?
Yes, we should.
You're feeling good or nervous?
We'll see after we'll see after this one.
Do you feel like this Jimmy from Hoboken is a great question?
I feel like my life depends on it. So he's
all right, Jimmy in Hoboken. Jimmy, let's go. Come on, bring me to 5-0.
So Ty's life depends on it. Wow.
Is this a brutal question, Jimmy? I have a feeling like you're going to be coming in a big way here.
Well, I'm a big Dave Rothenberg fan, and so I'm going to give you a meatball here. What number did Derek Jeter wear with the Yankees?
No, we can't.
For his career?
I'm joking.
I'm just messing. So here's the question, Dave.
But by the way, Ty, did you see what I did there? He was going to give me a laugh to go 5-0, and I said I can't do
that. Well, he was clearly joking.
Well, you know what? There's no knowledge of that. I didn't want that kind of a gimme layup question. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Who was the first pitcher in Major League Baseball history whose first career complete game was also a perfect game?
Give me the question again.
The first pitcher in Major League Baseball history whose first career complete game was also a perfect game.
Ugh. I mean, I only have like 25 chances. I don't know. I think this is where we bow out. I'm not. You're gonna live to see another day, Ty. I'm gonna guess. Len Barker.
No, it was Dallas Brady.
Okay. Well, there you go. All right. So the earring is off. And Jimmy, you ruined it for everyone. Thanks.
Listen,
a lot.
Jimmy, I was on life support. The family was being called in to say their final goodbyes. But of course, my guy from Hoboken delivers, Dave Rothenberg.
Like all the steam has gotten taken out of Stump Rothenberg.
No, of course not. You're still 4-1.
4-1.
Let's see if you can get to 8-1 because that was originally on the table. So that has to become the intrigue here. Let's see if you would have gotten to 8-1.
This is not easy stuff.
It's tough. I mean,
I'm 4-1. What percentage of the listening audience do you think is 4-1 right now?
I would say about an actual percentage.
Of our listening audience playing along at home, the home version would be 4-1 right now.
7.5%.
No way. Zero.
I mean, look at you self-aggrandizing.
No, maybe 1%. Maybe 1%.
Ryan Hurley listens to the show. I'm pretty sure he would be 4-1 right now as well.
Okay. Have Ryan Hurley call in on air and tell us that he would be 4-1 if he was sitting at home playing along, which I'm sure he is. The great Ryan Hurley, by the way.
The great Ryan Hurley.
Yeah. All right. Ryan Hurley, who you said would also be 4-1, Ty, the honesty of that man, the integrity of that man is unmatched, says he'd be 2-3 right now. He does also go on to say he thinks bringing back the dangling earring is a great move for you and that you should do it, in fact.
Yeah, I think I as much as I respect Ryan, I think I got to pass on it.
Yeah, I think it's probably
it's too much at stake for me. I can't walk around with that for
one. And you draping yourself in a sandwich board that says, please listen to Rothenberg, to Stump Rothenberg Saturdays at 10:30 on 98.7 ESPN, is that still on the table?
It could be next week, but now that I think about it, how often am I walking around like in the streets?
All the time.
Not really.
Just go up and down. Up and down Broadway for an hour.
Broadway for an hour.
Yeah.
So you think I just got all the time in the world to do ridiculous things like this?
I think you have an hour, and I think we should get back to the questions. Let's 4-1, Jeff in Florida. Jeff, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Hello, Dave. How are you today?
Good, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing great. Listen to you daily. You're really phenomenal, and it's an honor to ask you a question here.
Thank you so much. It's nice.
Question is, it's a basketball trade question.
Okay.
The question is, who did the then New York Nets trade to acquire Julius the Doctor Irving? And they acquired him from the Virginia Squires, as you know.
Yeah, no, I know. So Earl Foreman was the owner. And that's in 73, I believe. I think it might have been the only one I can think of. I don't know if I'm right. I don't know. Only one I can think of is. I'm not sure. Is it George Carter?
Unbelievable, Dave. Excellent.
That was very fortunate. That was the only name I could think of. All right,
the only name you could think of is George Carter?
No, the only name I could think of that was could have been involved in that trade. Okay. Not the only name I could think of. Mike in Jersey. Mike, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Yeah, this is an oldie but a goodie. I always like asking it, but who is the first pitcher to win the Cy Young Award without winning 20 games?
It's a good question. I mean, it could be a reliever. It could be Willie Hernandez. Because there's no way he won 20 games. I don't know. Rick Sutcliffe definitely didn't win 20 games. Steve Carlton, because the Phillies are really bad. And I think he won a ton of games. But I think he won like 27. I'm not sure. I'm gonna say Steve Carlton, but maybe it's Willie Hernandez. Steve Carlton.
Yeah, Carlton won 27. He won like half of the Phillies games that one year. And most people think of relief pitchers, but in fact, Tom Seaver won 19 in 1973.
Oh, there you go.
Won the Cy Young.
The great Tom Seaver. Okay. That's 5-2. That's unfortunate. Let's do one more. Maybe two. We'll see. All right, let's go to Rusty in Ridgewood. Rusty, you're next on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, Dave. How are you today?
Good, Rusty. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you very much. I love this segment of the show.
Yeah, thank you, Rusty.
I got a question. There's only one quarterback who won two Super Bowls, a and he's not in the Hall of Fame. Who is he?
I got to think it's Jim Plunkett.
How you doing?
I'll go. I'm not going to waste time here and go through everyone. I think it's Jim Plunkett.
Yes, it is, sir.
All right. So, I mean, Ty, that's a pretty good job. Six and two.
I mean, it's not laughable, but it's certainly no yes. 8-1 from last week.
No, you're right. I mean, are we done? Are we going to take one more? It's up to you.
I think we're done, but it just dawned on me that you're losing some fast. You're losing some on the fastball, Dave.
How so?
6-2. I mean, and you're applauding your performance.
I mean, 6-2 is not exactly anything to be embarrassed about. I understand what you're doing. I know your game is to try to embarrass me and belittle me and say, oh, you're not doing as well. 6-2 is pretty good.
It's pretty good for anyone not named Dave Rothenberg.
All right, listen, I give you a platform here on the show. I allow you to connect with the people.
You do.
If you want that to continue, I think you should not belittle a 6-2.
I'm not belittling it. I'm actually saying that you're so good, 6-2 is beneath you.
No, I don't think so. I think 6-2 is terrific.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
If you lose this week, we will somehow blame it on Dave Rothenberg.
Oh, well, listen, that's easy enough. He does enough. Even if he didn't do this, he did something.
Do you believe it? You know, he claims that, you know, he used to bet a lot. Do you believe he's still betting because he says he doesn't?
Well, what I know for sure is I believe he bet a lot in the past, and he had a very painful, traumatic experience. Right. Because the way he handicaps the games, it could not have gone well.
Wow! Woo-hoo-hoo! I love the woo-hoo-hoo from the great Michael Kay. And that's RJ Bell, who's going to join us in just a moment, and Michael Kay. On Thursday afternoon at 4:45 in their regular spot on 98.7 ESPN. Why can't I just get by? RJ, why do I always have to be on top of your mind when you are doing every other show around the country?
Well, listen, you got to ask Mr. Michael Kay about that, Dave. I'll say this, though. It's better for them to laugh at you than forget about you.
I agree with that 100%, and I'll take it every day of the week.
Exactly. I'll take your compliment, you know, your thank you, and thank you back, buddy.
Well, thank you so much for making fun of me. I appreciate that greatly, RJ Bell. So we have an hour, and I know you like to get long-winded, and I like almost, you know what you are like?
George Washington?
It's like you're doing a 98.7 ESPN filibuster. When I'll ask you, like, Bears, Panthers, what do you like? And you just drone on, and half the audience is like, you know, oh, my God. We gotta tighten it up today, RJ.
Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we try a... Remember, like, I don't listen to, like, FM classic rock radio, but back in the day I did, and it was always like, we got a super set with Double the Zeppelin.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, there you go. Instead of all the, you know, yeah that you do, let's just get into the games. And you know, I've had people say, do you think Dave, because of his shallow knowledge on these subjects, doesn't want to get into the topics, and he wants to just make it more kind of lifestyle radio? I said, I don't know.
Oh, it's brilliant theory. It's untrue, but it's brilliant theory. All right, so we're going to open up the phone lines as well. 800-919-3776 for 11 words or less, and we got to get to a lot of the games. COVID is certainly an issue. It sounds, though, RJ, like all these games are going to go on. New England, they were concerned. They shut down the facility. That game, as of right now, is going to go on. Jacksonville, issues there. I think a player in the reserves, practice squad player, COVID-19, that game is going to go on. So it does feel like, even though we're rampant with COVID, these games are going to move forward in the NFL.
Well, is rampant the right word?
I think it feels like it, doesn't it? Look at the amount of teams that have been affected now.
Yeah, if we want to say that one case on a team means it's rampant within a team, but
no, I think it's rampant within the NFL, though, right? I mean, I mean, Patriots have had, Chiefs have had. I mean, we can go on. Titans have had, Jaguars have had, Colts have had, like a lot of teams. RJ,
but I
Jets
think
closed down the facility. Now they didn't have it; it was a false positive. But still, almost every team, either playing directly or indirectly, has been affected by COVID.
At some time, let's agree with that. To me, what Tennessee has shown us, what the NBA has shown us, or I'm sorry, what baseball has shown us is, and I'm talking back at the beginning of this season, is the idea that one case is a cause for concern. Two cases and more on a team can be potentially an outbreak or rampant. And the fact the NFL has done a good job of preventing that, to me, that's the key. I'd rather have 100 individual cases than 5 in a cluster in the same team.
I think that that's fair. You don't want a cluster on the team because that team gets shut down and then they can't play their opposition, and yes. But I just wonder if we're going to wind up with a week 18 or if the NFL is just going to put their head down and push through and still try to get this done in 17 weeks.
Personally, I don't see, and I think we talked about this right live in a week or two ago when things were breaking, is why I'm not sure why they wouldn't have scheduled the week 18 to start with.
I agree.
And worst case, you have a bye before the playoffs.
And listen, you can do whatever you want this year. If it means that the Super Bowl is a little bit later in February, then so be it. Who cares?
Well, what I hear is they got the whole month.
They do have the whole month.
Yeah.
Which even just hammers home the point more. So why not? You know what? You should have done 18 weeks. And then if you didn't need it, you could have still done it in 17. And then if you needed it, you already have it planned out for 18.
Let me give you a story, though, Dave. I have, about 15 employees. And let's say there's a project we wanted to get done that evening, right? That day, that evening. And at a certain point, I realize it's not going to get done. I don't tell people, you know, guys, let's not worry about it. We'll get this done tomorrow. I'll let them think we're going to try to get it done that day up until where I think it's, 6:30, whatever. It's getting a little too.
No, I understand what you're saying.
Because once in your mind, once you think it's, tomorrow.
Then you think you have extra time. You don't have to
exactly
rush and push as hard. I get it. But I don't know. It just would have made sense to at least, carve out some time where you had week 18 in case the worst happened.
NFL is doing pretty well, I think.
So far, so good. I agree. All right. You ready to get to these games?
Yes, I am.
All right. I really like this game. And I think you're going to tell me that I'm wrong about it. And I picked it in our three-pack with Chris and Rick yesterday. And it opened at 3. Panthers were giving 3. Now it's down to a pick 'em. So obviously the public money is going on the Bears. RJ, I like Carolina. I mean, even without McCaffrey, Mike Davis has been very good. The quarterback's been better than I thought. Robbie Anderson is playing well. And they play for Matt Rhule. I mean, they're 3-2. And I'm sorry, I've watched the Bears. And I don't think they're a good football team. I like Carolina to win this game.
This is such a great example of how expectations dictate how you do, right? So if you think, I'm going to hate this birthday party, I'm going to a friend of a friend, and you have a little bit of fun, and that's Carolina, you're like, oh, man, better than I thought. And then you got the Bears, who are the Bears, and they're supposed, and let's be honest, Trubisky, Foles, it's a focus of ours. They win a bunch of games, and it's like, yep, lucky. And if you really look at it, especially the Bears' passing defense, because we've been so focused on that offense, who's the quarterback, the passing defense, and they've played some pretty tough quarterbacks, has yielded the second best from the defensive perspective passer rating, or second worst from the offensive perspective, of opposing quarterbacks. Literally the second best pass defense in the NFL, the Bears. And how has Carolina done? You're right, they've done well without McCaffrey, but how did they do it? Through passing. Bridgewater, not that the running back hasn't picked up the slack and hasn't done fine, but the real damage is being done with passing. One concept that we've all heard, and I'm starting to use the terminology a little bit, is the idea of selling high, buying low. And where do you think, if you just envision the season, right, and the power rating is going up or down like a stock market chart, where do you think we are for Carolina, high or low?
Oh, I think we're high.
In general, that assessment, are we high or low on a team, is going to be the tiebreaker with picks almost always. Because if you think you're high, and and people might say, RJ, how can you tell? Because the original assessment is typically not horribly wrong. And there's a concept in college basketball like this, which is the theory is every school, based upon its geographic location, its intrinsic budget, It's Ohio State in football, where I graduated from, there's a certain what's the ceiling? Oh, the ceiling's the best team in the country. It's like whatever the dynamics are that lead to national champions, the Buckeyes have it. think about college basketball and some of the New York schools in the 50s that would have, at the time, they could be, you know, potential national champions. Then as the years passed, things changed. All of a sudden, you know, whatever the dynamic was, it went down, down, down. Now, some of those teams, let's say a team like that, if their ceiling is 20 wins and all of a sudden they're on pace for 30 wins, you might say, RJ, how do you know? And I'm going to say, well, history tells us that's not the case. So to some degree, Carolina doesn't have a ceiling, but they have a 95% chance ceiling. And I think
I think you're right. I think they are right up there and better than I ever thought they would be this year. But I also coupled into this, baked in, RJ, I don't like the Bears. Like, I don't like.
But
Nick
do you
Foles?
Like? Do you not like the Bears, or do you not think they're a 4-1 team? That's two different things.
Both. I think they are a 500-ish team.
And what do you think Carolina is?
Right now, I think Carolina is probably a 500-ish team.
All right. Well, this line's saying that, right? So, meaning these are home field's down to about 1 point. So this is one of those, and sometimes you get this, which is, I think the line could be right, but if it's wrong, it's wrong in favor of the Bears. Meaning, I can't imagine that the Carolina should be, let's say, a significant, you know, let's say a 3-point favor. I can't imagine that. Can you imagine the Bears being a 3-point favor?
Well, I'd say Carolina opened up as a 3-point favorite.
Yeah, aren't they? You know, it's an interesting point, except the one thing about openers is, and I'm not discounting that, it is a valid point, but it quickly got bet down.
Right.
So in a way, the opening number is the odds maker's number. It's one person's opinion. And then the collective betting market, it's almost like an auction, right? The first price is the owner decides how much he's going to ask. And then it might get bid up like crazy. The market has said, hey, now, how do we think Carolina is better, you know, significantly than the Bears? And listen, if it were an easy answer, that's the thing about these games, and I'll make this very quick. The line has to be wrong in order to have a really good pick. Because what's a really good pick saying is that this game is going to win 60% of the time. Well, what does that mean? It means the line is wrong. The line usually isn't wrong. So that's why a good handicapper only has a couple good picks a week, because he knows the line can't be wrong in every game. If you're right and these are even teams, line's about right. I think if one of the teams is better, I think it's more likely to be Chicago.
All right, so you lean Chicago or you like Chicago?
Lean because I don't like Foles, you know, and in but you know what's fascinating is if you would think about this game and say, considering the way the Bears have started and how the public, it would make sense, would be potentially too high on them, fooled by the 4-1. This line really shows a ton of respect for Carolina and really not much for the Bears. So some of the implicit doubt that you have is, I think, already built into the number. So a lean, but a strong lean to the Bears.
All right, one quick question for you, and then we do have to go to break. An 800-919-3776 for questions for RJ. You talked about things get wagered on so heavily and sometimes the lines aren't appropriate earlier on in the week. If you're a really sharp gambler, do you try to jump on the action before the lines get to where they probably should be? Like, are you a Monday, Tuesday better?
You're a Sunday night better the week before.
Yeah, so you are. So that is accurate,
though. But here's the difference. If you're a really big better, you can't bet enough because the limits are lower. And that's not, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about the guys that bet literally $100,000 a game. They have to wait. And those are usually groups or syndicates, they call them. But on Sunday night, if you love the game, let's say that one of these games coming up next week, you said, RJ, let's get down no matter what. I would say, Dave, I need 10% down in escrow. But let's say we agreed to it, right?
Right.
Sunday night.
Are you making me an offer? Is that where you're going?
No. Across state lines? No way. But what I would say is you could get down 15,000. It will take some work, but I could get you down 15,000 Sunday night. The next Sunday, the day of the game, I could get you down $1 million with no problem.
So Vegas is assuming, or the odds makers are assuming, you can't go all in early because they have to wait for this thing to adjust appropriately.
Exactly. Uh-huh. But here's the conclusion. If you're not betting more than what you can bet the week before, right, those Sunday night limits, why not bet as early as possible? Now, and when we come back, and we can tease this if you want, there's pros and cons of betting early because you get the better line, but you have uncertainty, especially with COVID or weather or injuries. And the way a pro balances that, I think, is pretty instructive.
Now, once your wager is in, you're in, right?
Yeah.
So I bet on the Chiefs. Mahomes goes down with an ankle. My bet's not void. I'm locked in at that number, right?
Yeah, so with pitchers in baseball, you can have a contingent bet. So it would be like, okay, I'm going to
take
Yankees
take
with
starters,
Cole. Exactly.
Right.
Otherwise, you're in at that exact moment, that exact price. And the other example would be a parimutuel pool is what horse racing does, where it doesn't matter what the prices are until the last – till the race starts, and then they're determined. I personally love, I hate racing in regards to, 3 minutes left, I bet the dog or the horse at 8-1, and then late money comes in, and lo and behold, I'm only getting 4-1. No, the price that you bet is the price you get.
All right, Archie, I'm going to do this read. I'm going to honor you when I do it. I'd like to dedicate this read to you. It's going to be a beautiful read. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm going to drink a little water as you do it.
Go ahead. WBO, WBA, WBC franchise world champion Vasily Lomachenko, the pound-for-pound boxing Baryshnikov from Ukraine, will fight unbeaten IBF world champion Teofimo Lopez, the knockout artist from Brooklyn who has lobbed verbal haymakers at Lomachenko for more than 2 years. The two are going to fight from the MGM Grand Conference Center, a.k.a. the Las Vegas bubble. Now, Lomachenko Lopez is considered the biggest boxing event of the fall. It's tonight, October 17th, live on ESPN TV. It's free, people, from MGM Grand Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. What's at stake, you ask? I'm glad you asked. Four belts are on the line. Lomachenko's WBO, WBA, and WBC franchise titles, and Teofimo's IBF title. Plus, don't miss Fight Night with Peter Rosenberg and Bart Scott, airing tonight exclusively on 98.7 ESPN from 7 to 8, getting you ready for all the action. The guys will be joined by the man himself, Teofimo Lopez, breaking down his plans for Lomachenko. That's Fight Night with Rosenberg and Scott on 98.7 ESPN tonight from 7 to 8. Do you recognize how good that was?
Yeah, the thing, you know, some people might think, does Dave do that off the top of his head? And, you know, most people don't know.
Copy.
And then people think, does Dave write the copy? And it's like, no. And then it's like, well, what does Dave do? It's like,
I read it.
It's kind of like the voice on War Games, remember? Would you like to play a game?
Joshua, of course.
Yeah, well, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
RJ, I know everything.
What was her name? Leah Thompson, the girlfriend in that?
Was it Leah Thompson?
Yeah. Who do you think it was?
I'm thinking.
It was the girl from Breakfast Club.
Roderick.
Yeah, well, that was the dude. I'm talking about the gal.
I don't think it was. Was it Leah Thompson?
Well, just talk on IMDb.
I think it was Ally Sheehan.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
Get out of here, RJ. I know everything.
Well, geez, you didn't seem so sure. It took you 10 minutes to say it.
Well, no, because I had to think of it.
Ally Sheehan. Yeah, she was the girl from the Breakfast Club. The goth girl from the Breakfast
Club. Leah Thompson was not in the Breakfast Club.
No, you're talking about Ally Sheedy. You're talking about Ally Sheedy. Hey, let me ask you a question about All the Right Moves.
Yeah.
You ready? When's the last time you seen that movie?
It's been a while, but I know it pretty well.
I would highly recommend for anyone that wants to understand R.J. Bell, watch All the Right Moves. It was actually filmed about 30 miles from where I grew up, and it is the most... it's like, R.J., what was it like growing up for you? It was like this movie.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Right? Wasn't that the name of the school?
Yeah. And here's my question, though. Remember the dude, Roscoe, who was kind of, he assaulted Tom Cruise's girlfriend in the bar. Remember Roscoe?
Wasn't it?
Bosco or Roscoe?
I thought it was Bosco.
All right, let's say it's Bosco. Okay. So he was a big, burly guy with a mustache.
It was Bosco, definitely.
You couldn't even imagine this guy ever even got a commercial, let's say. You could walk down the street and find 20 better-looking guys in the first 25 guys out that you see. All right, so nothing special looks-wise and nothing special acting-wise. But he was, the villain.
Did you find where you were from?
No. I have a question about the movie. You remember this, though? Okay, here's the question. At the very end, the coach comes up and he says, hey, do you want to... Because Tom Cruise is walking out of the mine. He's limping. He's got his arm around his girlfriend.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, the coach shows up and says, you know what? I got the job at California State. Do you want a scholarship? And he goes, "Do I, Dad?" And he's like, "Yeah." And then here's the culmination of the whole movie. He takes his miner's hat and turns and throws it to some guy you've never seen before, the whole movie, and says, "Hey, you tell Bosco I'll be seeing him around." Where was Bosco for the that scene?
I don't know.
It's one of the great questions of all time.
Oh, my God.
There's this unknown guy. They don't even
– 3 minutes. 3 minutes to break that down, and it's clearly something you've been that is.
I can't get an answer anywhere,
RJ.
We need one of those talking diaries when they go, because I think Bosco ended up having a heart attack, and they had to have a stand-in.
Oh, you are so funny.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.